Sally?
You're late!
Yes, I know. I was up all night trying to defend the city from evil. But I'm sure you don't really care about that.
Where's Sergeant Nine? It's 9:25.
Ooh, so I guess all the junk's probably ruined by now.
Hey, sucker, what are you gonna tear down that Jeep like I told you to?
Okay, I thought we went through this yesterday. That old Jeep is actually an armored car of some type. It was meant to withstand bombs. I can't just rip it apart with a crowbar.
Just junk it.
Well, maybe if you gave me the proper tools, I could...
Junk it!
All right, you know what? I'm willing to have this discussion with you, but I think we should deal with it like two people who respect...
I want it junked.
Okay. Right now, I'm kind of like a powder keg, and you're the match. If you tell me to junk it one more time...
Junk it now! You got that? You miserable cuss!
Clearly, the lesson we can learn from that clip is that if Mr. Furious can control his temper, then there's hope for us. I mean, he is the ticking time bomb of fury, is he not? And we can learn, and we must, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about controlling our anger. And Proverbs has a lot to say about that. I'm Bill Young. I'm one of the four pastors here. We're continuing with our Proverbs series. We're doing a topical Proverbs series. And every week we have a different topic. So tonight is anger. The Bible talks a lot about anger directly and honestly. And you might be thinking, oh, this doesn't have anything to do with me. I don't get angry. Then it's not for you. Okay, it's for the person next to you. Just turn to them and say he's going to talk to you again tonight, right now. Okay, just tell them that. I think anger is something we can all relate to. Again, here's what the Bible says. It says in Ephesians 4:26, in your anger, do not sin. It goes on to say, it's not on the screen, but do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. In your anger, do not sin. We sin a lot when we're angry, don't we? The Bible says there is an anger that isn't sin. In your anger, do not sin. So you can be possibly angry and not sin. Jesus was angry, yet he didn't sin. Remember when he's in the temple? I'd call that kind of angry, flipping tables over, getting a whip and driving people out. But he didn't sin, did he? But I fear this. This is what I fear, that our problem isn't being too much like Jesus. That's typically not our problem. The problem is that we have the wrong kind of anger, the fleshly, worldly kind of anger that comes out all the time when we're mad, when we get frustrated, and that's what the Bible addresses mostly. And we're going to look at that a lot tonight. We need to deal with the bad anger. And the Bible talks about it, and we know about it. There's studies that have been done, just a few fun facts on anger. Men lose their temper about 6 times, on the average, studies show. Men lose their temper about 6 times a week, women about 3 times. So men twice as much as women lose their temper. Women get angry more at people. Men get more angry at things or circumstances. Single adults, listen, single adults express their anger on the average twice as much as marrieds. Single adults express their anger more than marrieds do in studies. Men are more physical. That means hit, throw, break type of thing, okay, in their anger. Anger is expressed at home more than anywhere else, and that probably goes without saying. Uncontrolled anger gets us in trouble. Here's what Proverbs 16:32 says. It is better to be slow-tempered than famous. It is better to have self-control than to control an army. That's a Living Bible version. I like that. It's better to be slow-tempered than famous. Better to have self-control than to control an army. You can think, man, wouldn't it be cool to be a powerful ruler of a nation or of an army, to be a great general? But the Bible says, you know, as cool as that would be, it'd be better if you could just control your anger. Be even-tempered. Be slow-tempered. There's value in this idea of learning how to control our temper. I like the story of Alexander the Great. True story, in a fit of rage at one point. He was a great general, one of the greatest on the earth at one point. At 30 years of age, he was the greatest general on the planet. In a fit of rage, he struck his favorite general. They had been lifelong friends. He hit him and killed him. And he cried out after he did this. He said, "I've conquered the world, but I can't even conquer my own soul. I can't even control my own temper." You and I need to understand that uncontrolled temper will get us in trouble. Amen? I mean, it does. We know it does. It gets us in trouble. So tonight, what I want to look at is how to get a grip on your temper, how to learn from Mr. Furious, okay? Maybe we ought to have rock, tension, stress balls that we pass out. And learn how to control our temper. The Bible has a lot to say about it. Proverbs has a lot to say. Solomon has a lot to say. So tonight, we're going to look at four keys to overcoming anger. And I think this will be very practical, very helpful. Let's pray one more time. Lord, we need your help. Holy Spirit, teach us. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you that it's inspired by the Holy Spirit as men were carried along. And we believe it. And we want to learn from it tonight. We don't want to have our ears tickled. We want to learn practically how we can grow in this area of controlling our temper. Lord, it's more valuable than being a great ruler, a great leader. It's to control our temper. So help us learn how to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so four keys to overcoming anger. Number one, and again, you have a handout in your program. You can fill that out. It'll help you keep up and also stay awake. So remember the results. That's the first key to overcoming anger, controlling your temper, is to remember the results. Alexander would have done well to remember the results before he struck and killed his best friend. We need to remember there are results, there's consequences. It says in Proverbs 29:22, a hot-tempered man starts fights and gets into all kinds of troubles. Hot-tempered man starts fights and gets in all kinds of trouble. Proverbs 15:18 says, hot tempers cause arguments. GN there means good news, LB means living Bible. Different translations just give you a different take on some of these verses. Hot tempers cause arguments. We need to think before we get angry. Remember, there's going to be results. There's going to be consequences to our anger. You and I need to remember that. Matter of fact, I'll say it this way. When you lose your temper, you lose. When you lose your temper, you lose. And again, the Bible is very clear on this. It says, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly, is foolish. You show your foolishness if you're a quick-tempered man. If you're not patient, you display folly to the whole. You're like a beacon. You're like a neon sign that says, I'm a fool. And again, I'm talking to myself because I can become angry. I would like to tell you tonight that this week, was a great week. That I was so stinking patient with my family and my kids. It was beautiful. It was such a beautiful thing. I wasn't tempted to be angry. I didn't get angry with the boys. But I can't tell you that because they're sitting right over there. And they know that's not true. I struggle with this. I need to learn from Solomon. I need to learn that if I'm a quick-tempered man, I'm going to display folly. I will. Proverbs 14:17, it says, a quick-tempered man does foolish things. A quick-tempered man does foolish things. You will lose your friends, family, jobs, promotion. If you're an angry person, you'll pay a penalty. And you know that. Some of you know that way too well. You and I, this is an important topic for us. Will Rogers said it this way. I got another night of good quotes. Will Rogers, he says, people who fly into a rage seldom make a good landing. So if you fly, if you have the habit of flying into a rage, you will not make good landings. I like what the famous evangelist, Billy Sunday, he used to be a professional baseball player. He's a very interesting gentleman, but he was a fireball. He's kind of like a steel times three when it came to preaching the gospel. The guy was just a firebrand, and at one point he was preaching, and a woman came up to him. I think I have a picture of him. A woman came up to Billy Sunday and said, there's nothing wrong with losing my temper. She said, I blow up, then it's all over. And Billy Sunday looked at her and he said this. He says, so does a shotgun, and look at the damage it leaves behind. You know, it is not right for us to blow up and then move on. That is not God's plan. Anger will cause problems. Even this week, if you're watching the news, a sad example of how anger has consequences. You probably read it in the paper or you saw it online somewhere, but it was called the Facebook diaper feud. These two women were in a feud on Facebook. You can go and read it. You can read their whole back and forth arguments. They got more and more angry at each other. They were lifelong friends, Kamisha Richard and Kayla Henriquez. And the article starts off, Henriquez has been charged with stabbing Richards to death after the two argued over a $20 loan to buy Pampers, police said. So these lifelong friends became angry, heated on their Facebook exchange. They met each other and got into a knife fight. And one of them killed the other one. Anger. Better to control your anger than to lead a great army. And we will pay the consequences. We'll do foolish things if we don't control our anger. When we lose our temper, we lose. Not only that, anger alienates friends, family, loved ones, coworkers. When we're angry, we alienate people. It says in Proverbs 11:29, the fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. If we're a person that provokes our family, our kids, our wives, our friends to anger or resentment, pretty soon we won't have anything left. We won't have anything left. And I deal with this with people all the time, the anger in their marriages. As pastors, we have to deal with that. And you just wouldn't believe some of the things that are said in marriages. Maybe you would. It is amazing what people will say in anger. And we see it in public divorces, don't we? In the papers, things that people that, you know, maybe a few years before stood on a stage in a church and committed their love and their commitment to each other, and then you hear the things they say 3 years later as they're going through their divorce, you can't even imagine how anger alienates people. It alienates. It alienates us from our kids, and it alienates from our husband and our wife. You know, a lot of us who are parents understand something about anger. Maybe it comes in the form of screaming. We understand that screaming works at our kid. It works temporarily. As a parent, I know it works temporarily. It maybe works for a little while, but then you know what? It doesn't work after a while, and then you got to get louder. And then you have to start, you have to come after them a little bit, and you have to get more and more loud. You know, it works for a while. Anger works for a while, especially in parenting. You know, parents, I would really recommend, this is a whole sidebar that I would love to teach on. Parents, I would recommend that instead of screaming at our kids, we just simply draw the line and say, this is the line, and if you cross it, then you'll be disciplined. I'm not going to count to 3. I'm not going to count to 10. I'm not going to count to anything. Just obey me. And if you cross the line, then there will be results. I'm not going to raise my voice. Matter of fact, I'll be very calm. But I'll spank your behind very calmly in love. And it will hurt. And it will sting. And you won't want to do that again. And I don't have to be angry about it. And I have to scream and scream louder and louder till finally the kid goes, okay, I know that tone. I know that angry voice that the next thing that's going to come is a smack across the face or something. It doesn't have to get that point, parents. We can draw a line and just say, here's the line. You obey this. Do you understand me? Yes, I understand you. Good. If you cross it, there'll be consequences. See, we draw the line, don't we? We draw the line wherever we want. Some of us draw it at, I'm going to count to 10 3 times. And then I'm going to get really, really loud, and then you know that I'm serious. That's the line you draw. I say, just bring it back here. Obey the first time. In our household, it's obey quickly, cheerfully, and completely the first time. All 3 together equal obedience. Quickly, cheerfully, and completely. If you don't do all 3, it's not obedience in your discipline. Especially with little kids. We need to learn this. Our anger alienates. There really are 3 reasons I'll talk about tonight for anger. First one is this. We get angry a lot of times because we're hurting. As individuals, we are hurting. So we get angry at other people. The saying is true that says, hurt people hurt people. And oftentimes we get angry because we're hurting. And it does us well to look into that, whether it's physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, somehow our upbringing, we've been hurt. Maybe it's situations at work, and we need to work on those issues. Because if we are hurting, we're going to hurt other people. We're going to get angry. Another reason we get angry is because we're frustrated. Oftentimes we're stressed out completely. And we'll take it out on our kids, on our spouse, on our friends, on our coworkers. So we're so completely frustrated and stressed out. Anger is just right under the surface. So it just bubbles over. And we need to be aware that when we're stressed out, we have a tendency to be angry, don't we? It reminds me of the guy that went to the psychiatrist, and he was dealing with anger all the time. It was just bubbling over. He didn't seem to be able to stop it, so he went to psychiatrist and sat down, and the doctor said, well, tell me what's going on. I get angry all the time. I can't seem to stop it. And he goes, well, tell me what's happened in your life. And he says, is there anything weird in your life? He goes, well, I do have these reoccurring dreams. Well, tell me about those dreams. He said, well, the first dream that always happens is I dream that I'm a wigwam. You mean a wigwam, like an Indian hut? Yeah, I think I'm a wigwam. You dream that you're a wigwam. Yeah. And then there's another dream. What's that one? Well, I dream I'm a teepee. Like a teepee? An Indian teepee? He says, yes. Over and over, I dream those dreams. He goes, I think I have it figured out. Really? Yes, clearly, you're too tense. Now, that was funny. Come on. Yes, amen. If we're stressed out, we're going to be angry. Some guy, you just got it. Very good. Some of you get it on the way home. Here's a third reason we get angry. Because we're insecure. We're threatened or we feel afraid for some reason. We need to delve into that and figure out why we are insecure. And it's kind of like when I lived in Iowa, we had lots of woods that we could go play in, and there were critters all over the place. And one thing you didn't want to run across, especially at dusk or in the evening, is a raccoon coming along the trail. Or anywhere, you don't want to come across a raccoon. Now, they're only, you know, this tall off the table, but you don't want to mess with a raccoon. Those little critters are mean, especially if they're backed into a corner. And we've had some in our garage back in Iowa, and you give them space, man. You don't want to mess with them because they get stressed out really fast. And you back those things into the corner, and they will attack, and they are really, really mean. And you know what? That's the way we can be. When we're stressed or we're insecure, it's like we're backed into a corner, and we can lash out in anger when we're insecure. Famed Austrian psychologist Alfred Adler, he said that all people with an overactive temper are just insecure. He relates all anger back to this point, insecurity. If you're an insecure person, you will tend to be more angry. A lot of school bullies are simply insecure people. They are insecure. You and I, we need to be aware of the reasons for anger. So, first point is to remember the results. And Proverbs talks about that a lot. The second key to overcoming anger is to reflect before reacting. Remember the results, then reflect. Stop and think about it before we react. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Now, I think I shared that last week as well. A fool gives full vent to his anger. That's foolish, just to kind of let it go on everybody. You don't want to do that. You need to reflect before you react. Abraham Lincoln was a master at this. He was stressed. He was actually somewhat insecure. And there were times where his generals were complete idiots. Okay, if you go back and read this, I'm kind of a Civil War buff, and I've read a lot about the Civil War. Most of his generals were inept, and they wouldn't do what he'd tell them to do. He would go stand in their houses. Abraham Lincoln would go stand in his generals' houses while his generals would walk past him and go up and take a nap. And he said, I'm going to wait here till he wakes up because he's not doing what I'm telling him to do. And they would just ignore him. And he would get so frustrated, he would write letters to his generals, really just kind of go off on them like a flaming email. He would write it out. He would write it out, man. And then he would take that flaming email and he'd put it in his desk. And then he would write another letter, much softer, much wiser to his generals, imploring them to listen to me, go after those guys. We would do well to do that as well, to think before we react, reflect before we react. Remember, anger is a choice. This is so important. And we remember it's a choice. We shouldn't respond impulsively. Proverbs 12:16 says, a fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. If you're a fool, you'll show your annoyance at once. It'll be evident you're angry instantly, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. You and I, we can have a right attitude. We can choose the right attitude, and we've all done it. You've done it. You've chosen to not be angry. Let me give you an example. You're having an argument with somebody. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your wife or kids, or you're going at it, and the phone rings. And you're going, rah, 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 and you pick up the phone. Hello? The young residents, how are you? And your wife's kind of standing in the corner steaming at you, and you're, oh, get back to you. Hello? Yes, that's fine. And you're giving her the evil eye while you're talking on the phone, and you hang up, and you go back at it again. You see, at that point, you have chosen not to be annoyed. You've chosen not to be angry. It's a choice for us to get angry, and we need to understand that. We choose it. Here's an idea. This is something that's actually helped me a lot. It helped me today, as a matter of fact. This isn't in your notes, but just write this down. Choose to accept your circumstances when you're frustrated. Choose to accept it. For instance, you're in the car, and you're running late, and of course you hit all the red lights. Of course, there's slow people ahead of you. They're all talking to their cell phones. You are frustrated. You can't believe you're going to be late for this meeting. Stop, and I've done this. Stop, and go, you know what? I'm going to be late. And I'm going to give myself grace today. I'm just going to choose that it's okay that I'm going to be late. If I'm late, that's okay. I'm not going to worry about it. You just tell yourself that and allow yourself the luxury of being late. And you know what? The pressure just kind of goes, whew. Otherwise, you know, I can just get all balled up by the time I get to my meeting or wherever I'm going to be. And it doesn't do any good, does it? Just give yourself the grace to accept the frustrating situation. One phrase that you probably heard said many times, don't sweat the small stuff, right? That's rule number one. Rule number two, everything is small stuff. Yes. Don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. There's nothing you can do about those situations anyway. Give yourself grace. Remember, anger is a choice. Also remember, maturity is ability to overlook a hurt. Christian maturity is the ability to overlook a hurt. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory or credit or benefit to overlook an offense. How good are you at overlooking offenses? You're offended. Can you overlook it? Or does it just eat you up and do you react quickly? Do you respond? Do you show your annoyance at once? Oh, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It's to his glory or benefit or credit to overlook an offense. Think of Jesus as our example here. He was offended, wasn't he? I mean, he got nailed to a cross. He got beaten to a pulp, as Steele shared with us. He didn't deserve any of that. How much did he sin? He didn't sin at all. He went to a cross. He was accused unjustly. He was nailed to a cross. He was murdered. Yet while he was on that cross, what did he do? What did he say? Forgive them. Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. He overlooked the offense. He prayed for those people. You know, that we would do well to do that as well. Pray for that person, that boneheaded person in front of you in that car, the guy that cut you off. Instead of cursing them, pray for them. The devil hates that, by the way. You pray for them instead of curse them. The devil goes, man, I missed it again. Had a great opportunity. Man, those guys, I hate it when they do that. Pray for people. Jesus forgave them. And understand this as well. This is one that my kids have a hard time understanding, even to this day, that there's nothing or there's no one that can make you angry. Oh, yes, sir, they made me. And when he did that, he made me angry, Dad. He made me yell. And I always stop him, back up, sit down, listen. No, they didn't make you angry. You chose to be angry. No, Dad, when they did this, they made me angry. Don't you get it, Dad? I get it, but you're wrong. Nobody can make me angry. I can be irritated. They can do things, certainly, that push my buttons or get me irritated. But here's the deal. I choose how I respond. It is my choice, and it's my kids' choice, to respond negatively to the influences around them. And we need to stop blaming our circumstances or other people and go, it's my fault. I chose to be angry. It's me. Own up to it so you can resist it, so you can overlook an offense. We need to overlook the hurt. Another thing we need to do is ask, is it worth it? Is this outburst of anger going to be worth it? Am I willing to exchange happiness for this anger? Am I? Is it worth it? Proverbs 30, verse 33 says, for as churning milk produces butter, and it does, and as twisting the nose produces blood, so stirring up anger produces what? Strife. Stirring up anger produces strife. If I stir up anger, if I'm it's like throwing gas on fire. Just like churning butter is going to produce something, just like twisting somebody's nose is going to produce something, stirring up anger, adding to the angst of the dinner table, is going to produce strife. And I got to ask myself, is it worth it? Is it worth it for me to pursue this? I know it's going to end in an argument. I know there's going to be blood, so to speak, anger at the table here, or with my friends, or in this situation. Is this really something worth fighting about right here? And oftentimes I go, I don't think so. When I'm wise, when I'm thinking clearly, no, I don't think it is. It's not worth it. And I want to tell you something. In my marriage over the years, I've learned there's some things that are just not worth fighting over. They're just not. And in my mind, I think I could fight over those things. My wife wants me to turn my socks inside out when I put them down the clothes hamper. So when they come through the wash, they're already ready to be folded. I could argue about that. She wants me to wipe the counter after I brush my teeth because I click my toothbrush and it kind of sprays over and it drives her nuts. She has gently asked me over the years, could you please just wipe that up? I don't argue with her about that. I could say, well, you know, but I don't do that. I've learned a few things. There's a number of things that she would want me to do, and she shares it gently and lovingly. And you know what? I could rear up. I could get angry and be a fool. But I choose. It's not worth it. It'd be stupid to do that. Here's what George Patton said. General George Patton said, never fight a battle where you don't gain anything by winning. Man, in marriage, there's so many times I think people fight about the dumbest things. You don't win. You're not going to win anything. You're just going to argue. You need to ask the question, is it worth it? If you're not going to win anything, if neither, you're both going to lose, then maybe just don't argue about it. Be humble. Move ahead. So that's the second key, is to reflect before you react. Here's the third key to overcoming anger, is to restrain our remarks. This ties back to 2 weeks ago when I talked about speech, but it ties right in with anger, because oftentimes it's our words, our angry words, that cause the problems. Proverbs 17:27 says, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered or cool-tempered. A man of understanding is cool-tempered. Proverbs 21:23 says, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. Man, we got to be careful, especially when we're angry about what we say. I say it this way, watch what you say and how you say it, especially in the heat of a battle. Proverbs 17:27 says, people who stay calm have real insight. You're really smart if you can stay calm in a situation. We get in trouble when we get angry. That's when we get in trouble in our mouth, when we're angry and we're not reflecting, we're not thinking, and our words just come out, we get in trouble. I know a pastor whose wife shared this honestly at a conference one time. She said this, she said she had a struggle with anger, and she had accountability with this area because she would really lose it with her kids. And she would scream and yell at her kids, and she knew it was wrong, and she was getting help. Her kids would drive her crazy. I cannot relate to that at all. Kids driving. There's times where you're just, especially when they're really little and they're very needy. As a parent, you probably relate to this. You know, sometimes you just need a quiet moment. It's just like their constant needs, and it's just, you're just, you know, you're bubbling over, and the anger is just right on the top, and you just got to get away for a little bit. And so this pastor's wife, she would go to her upstairs bathroom. That's where she could get away, just to escape for a few minutes, just to have a little bit of calm. Anybody else relate to that? Just for a few minutes. And she was having one of those mornings, and she shared this, having one of those mornings, the kids were just irritated, she was angry with them, and she said, I got to get out of here. And the kids were, you know, mom, 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 and she said, I'll be back in a minute. She went upstairs, closed the door in the bathroom, and the kids started knocking on the door. Mom, 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 and she's going, just give me a minute, please. Mom, 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 and she said, stop knocking on the door, I just need a minute. Mom, 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 so she threw the door, and she said, what do you want now? Kid's holding a phone saying, it's for you. And she's this close to the phone screaming, what do you want now? And she says, fortunately, if you can believe this, it was her anger accountability partner. And that was fortunate for her. Our mouths will get us in trouble. We need to watch what we say and how we say it. We do. Thomas Jefferson said this, when you're angry, count to 10. When you're very angry, count to 100. Amen. Very wise advice from second president of the United States. Or third. Second. Third. He was second, right? Come on. History buffs. George Washington? John Adams the second. That's right. And then Jefferson. Just testing you guys. All right. Restrain your mind. Anger is contagious. That's the next point. Anger is contagious. It's infectious in a bad way. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Again, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Harsh words stir up anger. So if you want to help other people not be angry, then don't use harsh words with other people, and they won't get angry as easy. We will reap what we sow. We will. Here's two stories that kind of illustrate that. One is a golfing story. True story about a golf pro named Tommy Volt. And he was giving a golf clinic one day. And his son was there. His 14-year-old son was there. And he thought he would show off a little bit. He taught his son some things. And he was giving a golf clinic to a number of people. And he said, son, why don't you show these fine people what I've taught you? And the kid, 14-year-old kid, no kidding, walked up to the golf bag obediently, took the 9-iron, threw it down, and started swearing. That's what I learned from Dad. The other story, a little different story, is about a Reader's Digest author that writes about, he was doing a story on the Amish people, so he did some investigation. He went and observed some Amish people. He went to a playground where the Amish, in the Amish community, and he watched the kids playing, and he watched them for a period of time, and he was amazed that he never saw any of the kids screaming or yelling at each other as they played. He was so taken back, he went to the schoolmaster and he spoke to the schoolmaster. And he remarked, you know, I'm amazed that I never saw any of the children yelling at each other or screaming on the playground. Do you know why that is? And the schoolmaster said this. He said, well, have you ever heard an Amish adult yell? You see, we learn. It's contagious. You know where anger comes from? People see it. Our kids see it. And it's contagious. So if they don't see us yelling, you know what? That's contagious as well. So here's the question as we move to our last point. What do we do with the anger? Because we're all human. That verse in Ephesians says, in your anger, do not sin. It doesn't say, if you by chance ever happen to get angry, don't sin. In your anger. God knows us, doesn't he? We all experience anger. In your anger, don't sin. Here's the fourth key. And this speaks practically of how we deal with anger. We respond to God. Psalm 142, verse 2 says, I pour out my complaint before him. Before him I tell my trouble. What? That's King David. That's a man after God's own heart. He says, I pour out my complaint before God. Before him I tell my trouble. So how do we handle our anger? We respond to God. And I'll say it this way, don't repress it, express it to God. Don't repress it, express it to God. Here's a little secret. If you don't know this already, God can handle it. If you're upset, if things aren't going well, and you want to talk to God about that, He's big enough to handle your complaints, your fears, the things that you're scared about, the things that you're angry about. He can handle it. We make the mistake of dumping on other people. When my boys were small, and I remember Jonathan in particular, and he's here tonight, but you'd kind of hold them up, maybe wrestle. They think they're wrestling, you know, when they're babies, they kind of crawl on you, and you wrestle with kids. And I remember holding on the floor, holding Jonathan up, kind of shaking him, and he looks down at me, he goes, you know, all over me. It's like, oh. And here's the deal. When you express your anger to other people, oftentimes what you do is you just vomit on them emotionally. You're vomiting all over people with your anger. And you know what? You oughtn't do that. Not with your spouse, not with your friends. You ought to first go to God. And you can vomit on your dad. It's okay. Because he understands that's part of having children. And he can handle it. But we don't do that. We oftentimes, I talk to people who are checking out of church or checking out of their relationship with God, and they're so mad at God. How could God let this happen to me? And, you know, this life's so hard, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And they're vomiting on me, and I'm listening, and I'm thinking, have you vomited on God yet? Have you taken that to God? And you know, they haven't. They're just angry. They're just plain angry. And they haven't gone to God. If you go to God, He'll hear you. That's what David did. Look, how do we properly express it? There's three things. How do we properly express anger? Quickly is the first thing. We deal with it quickly. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be a cooling down period. You don't want to deal with things in the heat of the battle. Sometimes it takes a timeout where you say, you know what, I've got to take a walk, or we have to talk about this in a half hour or whatever, but you come back to it and deal with it quickly. Ephesians 4:26 again says, in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Married couples ought to take that verse, memorize it, and practice it. Never go to bed angry. Don't go to bed not talking to each other. That's a no-no. That's a bad thing to do in your marriage. Be mature. Be adults. Deal with it before you go to bed. Some of the discussions my wife and I had over the years, it seems like, you know, as soon as your head hits a pillow, it's kind of like that's where sometimes, you know, things, arguments start happening, or just disagreements are like, this is going to take forever to discuss. Now, we have decided that we wouldn't go to bed angry, but there have been times, a few times, where we said, you know what, we're trying to deal with this. We're at loggerheads, and we say, can we agree to pick this up in the morning? We're not just wiping it under the rug. We're going to talk about it in the morning. And sometimes that helps. Just sleeping on something, you wake up a little more refreshed. You're not as tired. But you ought to have the goal, especially if you're married, but with your friends, coworkers, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Deal with it. Humble yourself. Give them a call. You might need to call somebody tonight. And deal with that, whatever it is. Don't let the sun go down. That's the directive from the Bible. It says if you do that, you give the devil a foothold. That's the next sentence in that verse. That means you give him an opportunity. You give him an opening in your life. You don't want to give the devil anything, especially not a foothold in your life. And by not dealing with your anger, that's exactly what you do. So deal with it quickly. Number two, deal with it honestly. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Deal with it honestly. Like David. Did you catch the words of that new song, Psalm 13? God, where were you? I've been looking for you. I can't find you. Don't you care about me? These are David's prayers written in the Psalms. He has lots of other things he said. You read the Psalms. God, life stinks. Kill my enemies. Knock all their teeth out, God. Dash them to the, grind them up on the ground. All my enemies, just kill them, wipe them out, God. Help me. Where are you, God? Why don't you answer me? That's an angry prayer. You're not answering me. I'm suffering and you don't care. Those are honest prayers. David prayed them. Read the Psalms. We just sang Psalm 13. You know what else we sang at the end of Psalm 13? I trust in your love. I trust in you. See, that's what we miss. We use our hard things in our lives as an excuse to run away from God, unlike David, who poured out his complaint before God, but always came back to, but I trust you. Didn't he? We need to get to that point too. Not just complain, that's not good enough. And if you can't even get to the point of saying, God, I trust you, then you say, God, help me to trust you. Help me overcome my unbelief, God. That's an okay prayer. But men and women, we have to learn how to go to God. God, I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand why my son or my spouse is sick. I don't understand why this person got cancer. I don't understand why these guys are having such a hard time. I don't understand why I lost my job. God, help me understand this, but I trust you. That is a healthy place to take your anger, and it's a safe place. We must learn that as Christians. Quit vomiting over people. Go to God first. He can handle it. Be honest, but don't turn away from God. Last point, deal with it humbly. Deal with it humbly. That might mean repenting. That might mean acknowledging wrong. You're angry. You need to ask for forgiveness. Again, I'm amazed at people that have been in this church a long time are still not practicing this. As many times as I've preached it, you're not practicing. You need to do this. When you have been angry and you have sinned, not the anger that's not sin, but you've been angry and you have sinned, then you need to humbly, quickly go to those you've sinned against. You need to acknowledge your wrong and you need to ask them for forgiveness. You need to say, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Use those words. Not, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. Because that could just simply mean, I'm so sorry you're so thin-skinned. I'm so sorry you get so upset so quickly over the littlest things. Would you just grow up a little bit? You know, oftentimes that's what people mean. I see it. You know, but when you say these words, I'm sorry for getting angry. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? You know who takes the blame right there? And you are. It lands squarely on you. And you know what that allows that person to do? To unhook you from that. And then your relationship can be restored. Until you say those words, your relationship cannot be restored. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Will you practice that with me? Let's say those words together, okay? I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Some people are out there, you're being tight-lipped. You're probably wronger than anybody, okay? Let's say it again. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? And then the person that said that you're saying that to, they need to look at you and they say these words, yes, I forgive you. Not, I'll think about it. You don't deserve to be forgiven. You're just going to do it again. There's other things. No, you don't say that. You say, yes, I forgive you. So let's say those words together. Ready? Yes, I forgive you. Though you have to use those words. It will bring healing to your marriage. It will bring restoration to your friendships. I guarantee you. That is not optional. I do not, when I'm counseling, I do not let people get away with just saying, I'm sorry. I will stop them in the middle of a tearful, I'm sorry. If it ends at I'm sorry, I'll say, it's not good enough. Tell him that you were wrong. Will you forgive me? It's got to be there. You need to deal with it quickly, honestly, and humbly. Ask God to change your hearts. Let's pray. Lord, we just need your help in this area. All of us, we need your help. We sin all the time with our anger. And we just need you to direct us. Thank you for these words in Proverbs. Thank you for Solomon. Because when he speaks, we should listen. And God, help us to remember the results of our anger. Help us to reflect before we react. Help us to restrain our tongues, our mouths, so we don't say things that hurt people. And God, I pray that you would help us respond to you, that we don't emotionally vomit over our friends and our family, but we go to you and we're honest with you, that we deal with our sin, the sin of our anger, we deal with it quickly, and we deal with it honestly, and we deal with it humbly. Would you help us in this area, God? We've all sinned here. Would you practically help us as a church to deal with our anger properly? For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.